Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Ted Amud Aleph by the two dots. The Gemara here quotes from the Mishnah, Chutz Me'ayadei Ger Toshav. So actually, there is a major machloket in the Rishonim as to what the Girsa is in the Mishnah. You can see over here, it says Chutz Me'ayadei Ger Toshav. You look in the little Aleph of the Bach, you can see that he takes out the word Ayadei. And if you look at Rashi in his Divrei Matchil, he says Chutz Me'ger Toshav. So the truth is that it has a big nafkamina as to how you read the Mishnah. It might contribute to a machloket in the Rishonim as to what the din is of a Ger Toshav. If you read the Mishnah as saying the following, which is a Kol Golim Ayadei Israel, Yisrael Golim Ayadehem, anybody who kills the Jew will end up in Galut, and vice versa, anybody a Jew kills will also end up in Galut. And there, if you read it, Chutz Me'ayadei Ger Toshav, that would imply that a Jew, a Yisrael, doesn't go into Galut because of killing a Ger Toshav. But then it would have no implications about a Ger Toshav himself, and it's just speaking to the fact that a Jew doesn't go into Galut for killing a Ger Toshav. On the other hand, if you have the gear set to be Chutz Mi Ger Toshav, that would imply that a Ger Toshav is the only one who doesn't go into Galut, meaning that everybody goes into Galut for killing Chutz Mi Ger Toshav, with the exception of a Ger Toshav, meaning that a Ger Toshav who kills doesn't go into Galut. He's treated like a regular Ben Noach, like a Goy. And he is, according to Rashi, you can see this in the Rambam, in the Perush Mishnayot, where the Rambam says, Chutz Mi Ger Toshav, a Ger Toshav gets killed for killing Bishogeg. As Rashi notes over here, there is no such thing as Hatra'ah by a Goy. And since there's no such thing as Hatra'ah, there's no difference between Shogeg and Mezid. And that means that a Ger Toshav, whether he murders or it's manslaughter, in either case, he's going to be held liable and he's going to be put to death for that. So that would be the way to read it if you say Chutz Mi Ger Toshav. But that implication would mean that a Jew who kills a Ger Toshav would end up in Galut based on that Girsa. So the Girsa actually makes a big difference in the way that you read the Mishnah and the implications of the Halacha. Just to review again, if you say Chutz Mi Ayadei Ger Toshav, that would mean that a Yisrael who kills a Ger Toshav doesn't go into Galut. And obviously, vice versa, the Ger Toshav doesn't go into Galut when he kills a Yisrael, only in the case where he kills a Ger Toshav. On the other hand, if you have the Girs of Chutz Mi Ger Toshav, that would mean that a Ger Toshav doesn't go into Galut when he kills a Jew, but when a Jew kills a Ger Toshav, he does go into Galut for that killing. So that would be the nafkamina between them. It happens to be a Machloket Rambam and Ravid. And also here, you can see Rashi dealing with that issue as well. And Rambam in the Perush Mishnayot also echoes a similar sentiment. Right, that's just in means of background to this. Alma Ger Toshav Oved Kochavim. From this you would conclude that a Ger Toshav has the same din as an Oved Kochavim, which is interesting because it seems like a Ger Toshav is different than an Oved Kochavim. An Oved Kochavim is someone who is not Jewish, someone who probably doesn't keep the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. A Ger Toshav, it's machloket in the Tanaim, what exactly a Ger Toshav is. And beyond that machloket in the Tanaim, there's also a machloket in the Rishonim as to what the status of a Ger Toshav is. One possibility is a Ger Toshav is someone who mekabel on himself in front of a Beit Din, the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. He lives amongst Klal Yisrael, and he keeps the Sheva Mitzvot B'nei Noach. But Rabbi Meir suggests that a Ger Toshav is someone who accepts before a Beit Din not to worship Avodah Zarah, and that's it, that he keeps the mitzvah of not worshiping Avodah Zarah, but not anything beyond that, and that's called the Ger Toshav when he lives under the auspices of Bnei Yisrael. Or the Acherim say that the Ger Toshav is something bigger than that, which is that he accepts all the mitzvot of the Torah, with the exception of eating nevelot. Because eating of nevelot, the Torah specifically says that you give the nevelot to the Ger Toshav. And so that's who it's called, the Ger Toshav, someone who's keeping the mitzvot. He hasn't converted, but he accepts to keep major mitzvot, or the majority of the mitzvot, with the exception of this one mitzvah of eating nevelah. There are Rishonim that have opinions that only keep major mitzvot, they keep arayot. So that's actually Machloket Tanaim in Avodah Zarah on Daf Samach Dalet Amud Bet, as to whether the Ger Toshav is simply someone who is mekabel on himself not to worship Avodah Zarah, or it's someone who mekabel on himself Dol Sheva Mitzvah B'nei Noach, which is the Shita of the Chachamim, whereas the Acherim believe that the Chachamim's position about Ger Toshav is that he accepts all mitzvot with the exception of Achilat Nevelot. Whatever it is that you think a Ger Toshav is, it's clear that a Ger Toshav is different than a Goy. But what you're saying over here is, when you say Chutz Mi Ger Toshav in the Mishnah, it's implying the fact that a Ger Toshav should have the same din as an Oved Kochavim. Ema Seifa, what are you going to do with the latter part of our Mishnah, which says Ger Toshav Gole Ayadei Ger Toshav? Our Mishnah says that a Ger Toshav that kills another Ger Toshav does go into Galut. So Amar Rav Kana Lo Kasha, that's not a problem. Kan BeGer Toshav Sharag Ger Toshav. Kan BeGer Toshav Sharag Yisrael. Rav Kana basically repeats what we saw before, which is that the difference in the Mishnah is that when a Ger Toshav kills the Israel, then he doesn't go into Galut, as opposed to when he kills another Ger Toshav, where he does go into Galut. That's exactly what the Mishnah lays out. So in some ways, Rav Kahana is just stating the obvious, or stating what is found in the Mishnah. So some Rishonim have difficulty with explaining that. Rashi himself explains that what he's adding over here, the Chiddush over here, is that you would have thought, when in the Mishnah it says, Chutz mi Ger Toshav, that means that a Ger Toshav doesn't get Galut for killing a Israel, and vice versa, Israel also doesn't get Galut for killing an Eger Toshav. The way that Rashi explains it here in Divrei Matril, Chutz mi Ger Toshav, the Chiddush of Rav Kahana is that the Mishnah said, Chutz mi Yedei Ger Toshav, and now we're telling you that the Lashon of Rav Kahana is that it's only a Ger Toshav Sharaget Israel. That only a Ger Toshav that kills Israel doesn't go to Galut, but a Jew kills a Ger Toshav will go to Galut, which would switch the gears from Chutz Ma'yidei to Chutz Mi-Ger Toshav. Whether that really is an actual switch of the gears or a figurative switch of the gears, because Rashi explains the way we did earlier, Chutz Ma'yidei Ger Toshav, with the words Chutz Mi-Ger Toshav in the Mishnah. So whether that means that he was suggesting a real change in the gears, or whether there is a different approach now to say that the din is not bilateral where nobody gets galut for killing each other, but rather it is only unidirectional, which is that the Ger Toshav will not get galut for killing the Israel, but the Israel will get galut for killing the Ger Toshav. And in addition, the ratio is Ksharagat Israel ain't a golet de lo sagi le begalut. That before we thought he just didn't get galut because he wasn't entitled to that kapara. Now, Rav Kahana's Kiddush is not only does he not get kapara, he also gets killed because there's no differentiation between Shogeg and Mezid for a Ger Toshav, just like there's no such differentiation for a Goy or a Ben Noach. There's no distinction between Shogeg and Mezid, and that's what we said before, that according to Rashi, murder and manslaughter are considered to be the same for them. On the other hand, the Ramban says, based on the Sugya in Sanhedrin, that you can't say that a Goy that kills the Shogeg is necessarily put to death. Because even though there's no Hatra'ah, no Hatra'ah doesn't mean that anybody gets put to death, whether it's murder or manslaughter. All no Hatra'ah means is that we don't need Hatra'ah, but you still require that they do it with mitkaveh. It has to be intentional killing for you to be put to death. And therefore, a Goy who kills Big Mezid is subject to a death penalty, but if he kills the Shogeg, he won't get galut, but he also won't be put to death according to the Ramban. The others, like the Ritva, want to take a middle position and try to suggest that there's a difference between a Goy and a Ben Noach. That a Ben Noach would require it to be Big Mezid, because he is Mugdar Be'alachot, and he keeps the basic principles and laws, and therefore if he's a Shogeg, he won't be put to death. Whereas a Goy or an Ovid of Odezara who keeps none of these mitzvot, then even B'Shogeg he'd be put to death, and that's a middle position taken by the Ritva. So that's what Rav Kahana is adding for us over here, according to Rashi, whereas for the Ramban and the Ritva, then Rav Kahana really didn't add anything that we didn't know from the Mishnah, where it says, Ikadarami Kraya Dodi. Some say it's a stira on the psukim, and that's what led the Gemara to come up with this solution, which is Ktiv. It says, with regards to the Ari Miklat and Midbar Lamed Hay, so it says there, Livnei Yisrael v'lager v'latoshav v'tocham tiena sheish Ari Ma'ela l'miklat anu shama kol mokeh nefesh bishkaga. Which seems to indicate that the Ger Toshav has relevance with regards to the Arei Miklat. So that's what the pasuk says in Bilmidbar. On the other hand, a couple of psukim before it says, Vayulachem he'arim le'miklat migoel v'lo yamut ha'ratzeach amdo lifnei da le'mishpat. So there it makes it sound like it is something that belongs to Lachem. So that means, Vayulachem he'arim le'miklat lachem v'lo le'gerim. So that's the stira on the psukim. How do we resolve that stira? Amarav kano lokasher kan be Ger Toshav shirag Yisrael. That's when a Ger Toshav kills Yisrael, he doesn't go into Galut. That's when it's only Lachem and not for them. Kan be Ger Toshav shirag Ger Toshav. But if a Ger Toshav kills another Ger Toshav, then he goes into Galut. And that is the source for why our Mishnah makes such a distinction. And again, with regards to Israel that kills a Ger Toshav, that will depend on the girsa that you have in the Gemara. Firamini, the fikach ger ve'oved kochavim shaharago neragim. If a ger and oved kochavim kill, they are put to death. Ktani ger dumia oved kochavim. It makes it sound like the Ger Toshav has the same din as an oved kochavim. Ma oved kochavim lo shna dekatal bar minei. Lo shna dekatal la bar minei. For a oved kochavim, it doesn't matter if he kills another oved kochavim, or he kills an Israel, or everybody who kills, nerag. He's put to death. His punishment is death. Av ger lo shna dekatal bar minei. Lo shna dekatal la bar minei. It doesn't matter whether he killed someone that is his same type, another Ger Toshav, or whether he kills someone that's not his same type, Israel. Nerag, he should be put to death in either case. So that means that there should be no distinction between the Ger Toshav and the Oved Kochavim. Amrav Chisda lo kasha. That's not a problem. Kan sharagu derech yirida. Kan sharagu derech aliyah. Depends on whether you kill in a descending motion or you kill in a ascending motion. Derech yirida, in a descending motion, the Israel Gali, there a Jew is put into Galut. Therefore, for them, like in our Mishnah, where a ger toshav that kills a ger toshav is subject to galut, it works. Galut is good enough for them to use. Derech aliyah, when it is in ascending motion, Yisrael patur, where Yisrael is patur, hu ne'erag, he is put to death. Which is like the braita that says a ger toshav that kills a ger toshav is subject to a death penalty. And even though, as Tosafot notes, that this doesn't really solve the entire problem, because it's still not true that a goy and a ger toshav are equal, because a goy will be ne'erag in all these instances, whereas a ger toshav, in the instance where it is derech yirida, and he kills another ger toshav b'derech yirida, he would be subject to galut. But nevertheless, we have, in each category, broadly, we have something that matches up, then both in the Mezid category and in the Shogeg category, we have a manifestation in Ger Toshav, where he is subject to a death penalty similar to a goy, and that's enough to maintain the parallel that's brought by the Braita. Now, underlying this assumption is the reason that by Derech Aliyah, a Jew does not get Galut, is because Derech Aliyah is considered to be less of an intentional item, less of an intentional killing. When a person does a derech yirida, and then he loses control over it, that's considered to be more of a pshia, or really a shogeg, where you could have taken more precaution. Now then, when someone is bringing something in upward motion, that upward motion, if a person, it snaps, the rope snaps, or something happens in that upward motion, that is something that is less likely, and because it's less likely, the person shouldn't have taken as much precaution. Therefore, we see him being yoter karov donis. And because of that, the Jew doesn't go to galut, because it wasn't as severe as derech yirida. So now what ends up happening, and this is what the Gemara is going to ask, Amalei Rava, v'lav kal v'chomeru. You got it backwards. If you're telling me that derech aliyah is more lekula than derech yirida, then why would it be by derech yirida he goes to galut, and then derech aliyah he gets killed? That's backwards. The logic is inversed. Rava says, if by the case of derech yirida he goes to galut, certainly by derech aliyah, it should be sufficient for him to go to galut and get kapara. Ma derech yirida Yisrael gali iunami sagile be galut. Derech yirida where Yisrael goes to galut because it's enough for the galut. Derech aliyah Yisrael patur. And derech aliyah where Yisrael's patur because it's a lighter violation. And that's why he doesn't have to go to galut, because he doesn't need that type of atonement. Iunerag. The ger toshav should be killed in that case. He's going to have a more severe punishment for the lighter violation. Doesn't make sense. El Omer Rava b'Omer Mutar. That is a case of Omer Mutar, which we're going to delve into in 1 second. So Rava rejects Rav Chista. The truth is that that might actually be the Ika Machloket over here between Rava and Rav Chista. The Machloket might revolve around whether the reason by Derech Aliyah that you are patur is because Derech Aliyah is lesser of a violation, or maybe because it's more of a violation. What Rav Chista might be suggesting is that Derech Aliyah is more of a violation. When someone is pulling something up and they're working against gravity, they should take more precaution because they know that they have to exert themselves, and there are a lot of things that could go wrong when you're pulling something up. When you're working with gravity on the way down, then you have more working with you than instead of against you, and therefore that's considered to be something they have to take less precaution for. So Rav Chista says, Derech Yirida, you go to Galut because it's a lighter form of punishment. Derech Aliyah, you don't go to Galut because it's too severe and you're not entitled to that atonement. That's why by the Ger Toshav you get killed for Derech Aliyah. Rava says you got it backwards. The reason by Derech Aliyah that you are patur is because by Derech Aliyah it's a lighter form. Meaning that when you're taking something down and you're working with gravity, there's more likelihood of something going wrong because the force is working towards what you're doing. You have to stop it from going down. Derech Aliyah, where you're working against gravity, you have more control over the item, and therefore it's less of a violation. But you don't take proper precaution there. So Rava thinks Derech Aliyah is patur because it's less of a violation, and that leads him to say that what Rav Chista said is incorrect. And therefore, Rava goes to say Ba'omer Mutar. So Amar Lei Abaye Ba'omer Mutar Anusu. What are you talking about? Omer Mutar, when someone says that they thought it was okay to do this, they didn't know, that's considered to be an Anus. So Amar Lei, Rava responds to him, and just so you know, that many people think the Gizir should be Rava and not Rava. That Amar Rav Shani Omer Mutar Karov the Mezidu. That's what we saw before in the position of Abaye versus Rava. But Rabba says, I think Omer Mutar is Karov de Mezid, which means that this guy should have learned, and says he didn't learn, he's responsible. Ignorance of the law is not a sufficient excuse in these situations. And so therefore, Ani Omer is Mutar is Karov de Mezid, and therefore he is held liable in these cases for doing something wrong. Abaye, who sees Omer Mutar as being anus, would think that, of course, when you don't get galut, it should be a lighter form of punishment. So, in essence, Rava's argument, and we'll see Rav Chista has the same view as Abaye, has to do with these two issues, which is Derech Aliyah and Omer Mutar. By Omer Mutar, Rabba says that that is Karov B'mezid. Therefore, it's more likely that the Ger Toshev should be killed instead of going into Galut. And then when it's Derech Aliyah is a lighter violation. And so then it doesn't make sense to say that the Ger Toshev and Derech Aliyah should be killed instead of going into Galut. Rav Chisda has just the opposite position, which is Derech Aliyah is more chamur a violation. And therefore, when he does it, he should be killed and not put into Galut. And vice versa, by Omer Mutar, where it's Karov Donis, doesn't make sense that he should be killed instead of put into Galut. And that will explain the differences in their opinion. And this is Rav Chisda and Rava, or Rabba the Shitatam. According to Rabba, he'll be put to death because he is Karov the Mezid, and for Rav Chisda, he'll be Patur because he's Karov the Onis. Didmar, Kasover Beima, Vinimsa Adam. If he thought it was an animal that he was killing, and it turns out it was a person. Knani, thought it was a non-Jew. Vinimsa Ger Toshav, and it turns out it was a Ger Toshav. Rav Omer Chayav. Rav says in that case, that's the equivalent of Omer Mutar, and you are Chayav. Because just like by Omer Mutar, you should have learned, and your ignorance of the law is not an excuse, so too by the case where you misidentified the target. Where you misidentified the target, in that case, you also should have done more to check, and you didn't check. So it's very similar in nature to Omer Mutar. And so for that reason, Omer Mutar and being more discerning, we're saying in the same category, which is you should have done more, and you didn't do that more. So then based on that, Rava says you're Chayav, because Rava says that that's Karov the Mezid. So over here too, that's called Karov the Mezid. On the other hand, Chiz Omer Patur, Omer Mutar Anusu, ignorance of the law, and also over here where you made a mistaken identification, that's closer to Anus than it is to Mezid, and therefore you'll be Patur over here. And that's them, the Shitatam. Now the Bali and Tosavot do raise an issue over here, which is, we saw in the Gemara in Sanhedrin that there's a machloket with regards to when you attempted to kill an Adam that we were Patur from, and then you kill an Adam that you're Chayav for. If you attempted to kill a Beima, and then you kill an Adam, whether that person's subject to a death penalty, or whether that person is subject to Kofar. It was a machloket Rabbi and the Chachamim over there. So now, why is it over here the Gemara doesn't bring that up at all, that machloket Tanaim? And over here, it just assumes that everybody agrees that you're Karov the Mezid. So Tosavot over here suggests that this case is different than the cases that they found in the Gemara and Sanhedrin. Because the cases in the Gemara and Sanhedrin were there two items there. There's both the Behema and the Adam. You tried to kill the Behema, and then instead you killed the Adam. Over here, there's one object, and you misidentify the object. That's why Tosafot says the din is different over here, because you misidentified the object versus the case in Sanhedrin, where you didn't misidentify the object, you attempted to kill something, and then it went the other way, and you killed someone else. So over there, there was intent for what you were doing, but it went the wrong way. Over there, there's the Machloket Rabbi and the Chachamim. Over here, where it's one person or one object, and you misidentified it, that's more like Omer Mutar, which is that you should have looked into the matter more, and that's similar to that Machloket Tanaim over there, and that's how Tosafot differentiates the cases. So now, the Gemara says, Eitve Rava the Rav Chisda. So Rava now challenges Rav Chisda, whether it's Rava or Rabba that's challenging Rav Chisda. Hinecha meit al isha shelakachta. You're going to be put to death for the woman that you took. This is to Avimelech. After he took Sarah from Avraham, God comes to him at night in Chalom Laila and tells him, you're going to die overtaking this woman. My love, bidei Adam. Sounds like that he's subject to a death penalty, bidei Adam. Avimelech thought it was fine. He thought this woman was a single woman, and he took her. So there it's Omer Mutar, and you're saying that I have a case against them, bidei Adam. So the man says, lo, bidei Shemayim. Rav Chisda answers back and says, no. When it says, God says, Chatoli, you sinned to me, and I'm going to take care of the situation. You're Chaya bidei Shemayim, not bidei Adam. Deganami, and I can prove to you that I'm right. Rav Chisda says, Dichtiv, Michatoli. Because it's God says you sin to me. Sinning to me means that it's my issue, not an issue for the Bati Dinim. So then, Rava comes back to him and says, wait a minute, Velitameich, according to your reasoning, Bechatati Lelukim, when Yosef says to Eshet Potifar that I can't sleep with you because then I would sin to God, Lelukim below the Adam, you're going to suggest there that Yosef's violation, which is Eshet Ish, is only a problem, Bidei Mishamayim, not a din, Bidei Adam, Elodino Masur the Adam. Yes, you're going to sin to God, but God uses his proxies in the world, Batei Dinim, in order to execute on the punishments here. And therefore, even though he's Chatati Lelukim, Beit Din punishes him for that. Hachanami, so too by Avimelech, Dinu Masur LeAdam. His din is given over to Adam, which means that it is a punishment bidei Adam. So now Rava turned around what Rav Chisda gave as a retort to show and prove that it was wrong what Rava's saying. Rava turns around now and shows him that he's wrong in his retort because you can't explain all the psukim like that. Just because it says you sin to God doesn't mean that it's not subject to the adjudication of Beit Din or punishment by Beit Din. So now the Gemara continues. Eitvei Abaye LeRava. Abaye says to Rava, Hagoy Gam Tzadik Tarok. The pasuk pasuk says by Avimelech, are you going to kill the tzaddik along with a rasha'im? Avimelech is basically claiming to God is that I'm innocent over here. I didn't know she was an eshadish, so how am I supposed to know? So now what Abai is showing is that is something that is between God and Avimelech. Avimelech is not saying this about a beit din. He's saying to God, are you going to kill me? And seemingly Hashem agrees and acknowledges his claim. And he says afterwards, Gam anochi yadati ki bitom levavecha asita zot, which seems to be Hashem's acquiescence to Avimelech's claim. Says, Hatom ki demahadre ilave. What do you mean? God rejects his claim over there. It says, Vata hashev eshed ha'ish ki navihu. You have to give back the eshed ha'ish because he's a navi. Meaning that the eshed ha'ish you have to give back, and it is a problem of eshed ha'ish. Eshed ha'ish is something that's subject to punishment bidei adam. So Rava says back to him, God answers Avimelech and says, you're wrong. It's not that you are tzaddik, but rather you are taking an eshed ha'ish. Rava says, eshet navihu detahader, lav navi lo tehader. So now wait a minute, when it says eshed ha'ish over there, you only have to give back a married woman because he's a navi. You don't have to give back a married woman if he's not a navi. Why does Navihu have any bearing on the case over there? Ella kid amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani. That's like what Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani says. Amar Rabbi Shmuel bar Nachmani, amar Rabbi Yonatan, achi kamarle. This is what he meant to say to him. This is quoted by Rashi on the Torah, the Midrash that explains this whole interaction there. It says, Ata hashev eshed ha'ish, mikol makom. You have to give back the eshed ha'ish. That's irrespective of whether he's a Navi or not. You have an imperative to give back the eshed ha'ish. Ah, what about the fact that Kamarat Goy Gam Tzaddik Tarog? You said you're innocent over here. Hello, who am I, Achotihi? Didn't Avram tell me that she was his sister? How was I supposed to know? Navihu Umim Chalamad. He is a Navi, and he learned from you. So there are different ways to explain this. Rabbeinu Chananel explains it the simplest way, which is the way we'll explain it in the Gemara. Others say that he's a Navihu, so he knew what you were going to do or how you were going to act when he brought Sarah here. And that's why he responded this way. The simplest way to read it is, he learned from you, Achsanai Sheba Le'ir, a guest that comes to town, Aliskei Achila Shtia Sholimoto. You ask him, where are you going to sleep? Where are you going to eat? Do you have a bed? Do you have breakfast? Do you have what you need in terms of your stay here in the city? But that's not what happened over here. Klum Sholimoto Ishtechazo Achotchozo. The first question you ask him, is that your wife or your sister? Is that the proper way to greet someone or to bring an oreach into the city? Smikan sheben Noach nerag she'elo limod v'lo lamed. That it shows you here that Avimelech should have known better, and since he didn't know better, he's held accountable for that or liable for that. Which is that over here, Avimelech acted inappropriately. When he acted inappropriately, he triggered Avram's response. Avram's response is because Avimelech asked the wrong thing when he came there. Therefore, Avram had to lie in order to protect himself because of Avimelech. And therefore, Avimelech, even though he couldn't know the information because Avram lied to him, Avram is not held responsible for the lie because it was Avimelech that precipitated the lie by his introduction in the city. And so that's what's being said here, that Abayu brought a proof against Rava from the fact that Avimelech says, "Agoy gam tzaddik tarog," and he declares his innocence. Hashem comes along and says, No. You have to return an eshed ha'ish because you did something wrong. Number two is, why did you do something wrong even though you didn't have the information? Navihu. Avram was reacting to your precipitating this response. He was reacting to your questions, and that reaction made it that Avimelech couldn't have known the information but still held accountable. And from that, Rava proves that Sheben Noach Shnerag She'elo Lumod V'lo Lamad. If you should have known the information, or you should have gotten the information and you failed to do so, you're put to death for that. Meaning Omer Mutar is put to death, and that's the Shita of Rava, that Omer Mutar is Karov, the Mezid, in these situations. Right, just so you know that the Balei Tosafot have a Girsa that actually flips the Gemara around. V'chayni rak idach Girsa, elodino masur l'shamayim. That is, din is masur l'shamayim, and that's why it says, v'chatad yelukim. Nevertheless, here it's masur l'idei shamayim, because there were no edim over there.
So even though normally in a case of eshed ha'ish, you would be put to death bidei adam, over there, v'chatati lelukim by Yosef is bidei shamayim, because there were no edim. You were missing some of the protocol that would lend itself to a death penalty. And similarly, by Avimelech, even though normally he would be chayab bidei adam, over here, chatolid, it was relegated bidei shamayim because as the Bayi Tosafot say, lefi shelo yadam olam, or lefi shelo yod'u ha'olam shi eshed ha'ish. But just nobody knew that, and therefore they couldn't execute on it, and that's why it was relegated to Shamayim. So in that way, first of all, it makes more sense with the wording, because they both sound like it's Bidei Shamayim. And number two is, it allows Rova to deflect the questioning of Rav Chista, but unlike the Girsa that we have, but in that Girsa it seems more like a dismissal of Rav Chista's claim, rather than a complete mitigation of that claim. And then he goes on to say that in the subsequent back and forth, where Abaye questions Rava or Rabba, and then Rava brings a proof to his position, it's clear that Rav Chisda can't subscribe to that understanding or that explanation. And he won't, as Kolbele Tosfot say, learn the Navi Hu, the deal that Rava makes out of that. But he's unwilling to suggest that why Hashem says that he's going to be subject to a death penalty for Eshet Ish is because after Hashem told him the information, then if he acted upon it, he would be Chayav. But rather, he suggests that even according to Rav Chisda, here Abimelech was out of line. So even though normally Omer Mutar would be Patur, over here there was such an infraction of basic law, which is that what Rashi says over here, that Abimelech failed in basic Derech Eretz. And since it is Derech Eretz that he failed in, that type of Omer Mutar is still Karov the Mezid, and not identical to Omer Mutar. Alright, so next Mishnah. Asuma eno gole, divi Rabbi Yehuda. Suma is not put into galut, that's the position of Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, gole. Rabbi Meir on the other hand says you do go into galut. Asone eno gole. Someone who hates another person, he's not put into galut. Rabbi Yossi Omer, asone ne'erag. Asone not only doesn't go to galut, he is put to death. Mipnei shehu kumuad. The assumption is that someone who is a sone kills intentionally and doesn't do anything unintentionally. Rabbi Shimon Omer, yesh sone gole, yesh sone she'eno gole. Sometimes the sone goes into galut. Sometimes the sonet does not go into lot. Zaklal. This is the principle. Kol shehu yochol lomar ledat harag. If we can prove, or we can show there's evidence the fact that he did it intentionally, eino gole. Then he doesn't go into galut. Shelo ledat harag. If we can prove or show that it was done unintentionally, erzeh gole. Then he is put into galut. So now the Gemara is going to explain this. Tan Rabbanan. Below ra'ot. It says in the pasuk found in Bamidbar, it says in befeta below evad afo ishlich alav kol kli below tzdiya o b'chol even asher yimut ba below reot vayapel alav vayamot v'lo yevlo v'lo mevakeish ra'ato. So in that case, he goes then to the ir miklat. So what is the meaning of below reot? That means that he doesn't see. And as Rashi notes over here, it seems to indicate that he's below reot, meaning that he doesn't see in this case, but in another situation he would see. So that would exclude or preclude a suma. So that's what Rabbi Yehuda says. Below reot, prat the suma, divi Rabbi Yehuda. Rabbi Meir Omer, below reot, the rabot at the suma. It comes to include a suma. My time of the Rabbi Yehuda. What's the reasoning behind Rabbi Yehuda? Tichtev, asher yavod re'u bayar, afilu suma. When it says that you come into the yard to cut wood, that would include anybody who comes into a yard. Then, ato, below ra'ot, mi'atate. There's a mute that it says a suma is excluded. For Rabbi Meir, below ra'ot, lema'et. Below ra'ot also excludes a suma, just like Rabbi Yehuda. Bevlidat, then he takes the extra bevlidat, which is also a mute, says bevlidat, lema'et. That also comes to exclude a suma. So then you have over here, two psukim that are excluding a suma. One of that's found in Bamidbar, b'chol even asher yamut ba below ra'ot, v'yapel alav v'yamot v'lo yevlo v'lo melkeish ra'ato. And then you also have the pasuk in Devarim, which is, v'zeh dvar rotzeach asher yanu sham avachai asher yakeit re'eu b'vlidat, v'lo usolei lo mitmol shushom. So there it says b'vlidat. So what we're saying is that a suma is also b'vlidat, because a suma can't know that the victim is there. He doesn't have any information about it. So you have a miut of below ra'ot, which excludes a suma. And then you also have a blidat that excludes a suma because he doesn't know about it. And so the blidat, now you have suma being excluded twice. And what Rabbi Meir says, ein miut achar miut al rabot. When you have two miutim in a row, that comes to the rabot to include. And therefore the suma is included over here. Or you can read it that below ra'ot comes to exclude a suma. And then bivlidat comes to tell you the only time that a suma is excluded is in a case bivlidat. We had no clue that the person was there. Implying that if he did know the person was there, even though he couldn't see him, he would be chayav. So that's another way to explain Rabbi Meir's position. Rabbi Yehuda says no, bivlidat, the prat mitkavenu dat. Blidat comes not to say to exclude a suma, but bivlidat comes to exclude the mitkaven. Someone who does it intentionally. Obviously, it's not a case where he's doing it intentionally. He's doing it intentionally. He's amazing. So it has to be a case of mitkavein where we can ascribe more kavanah to his action. And therefore, he's not able to use galut because his action is karov the mezid and not like a shogeg, meaning something along the lines of omer mutar. So in that case, he would be prat mitkavein. So there's only one miyut for suma. But for that reason, Rabbi Meir says the suma is included. And on the other hand, Rabbi Yehuda says that a suma is excluded. Some suggest over here that Rabbi Yehuda's shita about a suma being patur over here is connected to shita in general, that suma is patur mina mitzvot, and that's what is guiding his position over here. Then we say, Rabbi Yossi Omer, asone ne'erag, v'alo atrubei. How can it be that suneh is put to death if there's no atra? Matnitin, Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda.
our Mishnah is authored by Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, in the position of Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda, the Tanya. Rabbi Yossi Bar Yehuda Omer, Chaver Eino Tzarich Hatra'a. A Chaver does not require Hatra'a, I mean a Talmud Chacham doesn't need Hatra'a. Fish no need Hatra'a, Lev Chin Ben Shogeg to Mezid. The whole purpose of Hatra'a is to change a person from Shogeg to Mezid. So what we're saying over here is that the individual, when he's a Sonah, that by definition changes him from a Shogeg to a Mezid. And so what we're saying in our Mishnah is the whole purpose of Hatra'a is to make you from Shogeg to Mezid, and that the Sonah does for you. So Rabbi Yossi is saying, Sonah simulates Hatra'a, because it changes you from a Shogeg to Mezid, and therefore you're going to be put to death there when you kill as a Soneh. Now obviously you're going to have to be probably a Talmud Chacham Soneh, because he has to be someone who understands that he's doing Mitkaven and not Omer Mutar, or not saying that he didn't know. So it has to be someone who's knowledgeable enough, but if he's a Soneh, that automatically overcomes the problem of Hatra'a, because in that case it does or simulates what Hatra'a would do. Alright, so now we move on to the next case. Rabbi Shimon Omer, Yesh Soneh Goleh. Rabbi Shimon says there's sometimes that a Soneh is Goleh, sometimes he's not. Tanya, Ketzad. Amar Rabbi Shimon, Yesh Soneh Goleh, Yesh Soneh Sheinu Goleh. We have a bright that explains what are those cases. Yesh Soneh Sheinu Goleh. Nifsak Goleh. In the case where the rope breaks, then he goes into Galut. Nishmat, if the rope falls out of his hands, Enu Goleh. Then he doesn't go into Galut. That is Rabbi Shimon's view. Vahatanya, we have a problem, we have another bright. Rabbi Shimon Omer, the Olam, Enu Goleh, Achi Shemait, Machtzilo Miyado. That he doesn't go into Galut until the item falls out of his hands. Now, Machtzilo is explained by different Rishonim to be different things. Rashi over here says that it is a trowla. It's a trowel. So Rashi, if you remember back before when we talked about the Magilah, the Balei Tosafot said the Magilah was a roller that you used on the roof to flatten out the lime or the plaster on the roof. Rashi said it was a piece of wood that you used to flatten out the cement or the plaster on the roof, similar to the way they make sidewalks, and they use that to move the cement and flatten it out, versus the rollers that you use when they use for asphalt, that's what Tosafot thinks it is. Over here, Rashi says that they also use the trowel to do that when people do work on walls, and they're using a trowel to flatten out the cement. That's what we're speaking about here. So the only time you're chayav is if the trowel falls out of your hand. That's considered to be for shogeg. But that means that in the case of nifsak or nishmat, that you would be eino goleh. And now you have a problem, which is now you have a stira between Rabbi Shimon on the two cases, which is kasha nifsak and nifsak, kasha nishmat and nishmat. Nifsak and nishmat is a problem, because in the first case, the Braita said, he said that nifsak goes to galut. In the second Braita, he says only if the trowel falls out of your hand, do you go to galut. And then kasha nishmat and nishmat kasha, the nishmat and nishmat is also a problem, because nishmat in the first Braita, you didn't go into galut. And in the second Braita, you did go into Galut. So how do you reconcile that? The Girsa that we have in front of us is the Girsa of the Gemara. It's the Girsa of the Rabbeinu Hananel. But both Rashi and the Balei Tosafot have an alternate Girsa that came from the Gaonim. And they both show why it is a better Girsa. And so therefore we'll follow that Girsa of Rashi and the Balei Tosafot. But just note that there is a reverse Girsa that we hear. Haki Garcina, Nishmata Nishmat Lokasha. The falling out of your hand is not a question. Haba Ohev, Haba Soneh. That depends if he likes him or he hates him. Nifsak and nifsak lokasha, that's not a problem. Harabi harabonon. So let's deal with nishmat first. When something slips out of your hand, you don't go into galut, that's when you are a soneh. The first braita that says you don't go into galut, that's not even a case where you are a soneh, and you don't go into galut because you're karov the mezid. Something falling out of your hand is less of an ones than the rope tearing. So therefore, when it falls out of your hand and you're a soneh, we are suspect of what you did, and therefore you don't go into galut, because galut is not good enough for you. On the other hand, when you're up on the roof and the trowel falls out of your hand, there too we should be suspect, but it's a case where it is a ohev. And since he's an ohev, when it slips out of his hand, we assume there that it was an accident, and therefore he goes into galut. So that would be the explanation of the difference between nishmat and nishmat. How about nifsak and nifsak? The first braita says nifsak goleh, and the second braita says nifsak eno goleh. Now we already established that the nifsak in the first braita is goleh, even though he is a soneh. So what it turns out is that the rabbonon say that the nifsak is goleh, because that's the shita rabbonon. The shita rabbonon is when you hit with the axe, and the head of the axe, or the iron of the axe goes flying off, that's the case of galut. And that's similar to the case of nifsak. The case of nifsak is you have the rope in your hand, and the rope tears. A part of the rope is still in your hand, and the remainder fell down and killed the person. That's the same thing as the handle of the axe being in your hand, and the iron flying off. So the rabbanon in that case say you go to galut, and that's why it's the rabbanon is the author of that first braita. In the second braita, which says nifsak eno goleh, that's Rabbi. Rabbi says when you have the handle in your hand and the iron goes flying off, that's not the case of galut. That's karov the mezid. The case of galut is where the axe hits something and it goes flying off. So therefore, for Rabbi in the second braita, even when it's an ohev, nifsak eno goleh, because that's not the case of galut. That's not the case when something flies out and you have a piece of it in your hand, you don't get galut in that case. And that'll explain the second bright according to Rabbi. And what Rashi points out is that according to Rabbi in the sheet of Rabbi Shimon, a sonet can never end up in galut. That is because if it's nishmat, he's not goleh because we're suspect that it's karov de mezid. And the case of nifsak, Rabbi holds that nifsak isn't a case of galut. And so therefore, according to Rabbi and Rabbi Shimon, a sonet will never end up into galut. That's just a side effect of that girsa.
Although Tosafot is unwilling to accept the fact that Rabbi in the shem of Rabbi Shimon can't have a case of galut by sonet, because Rabbi is a Talmid of Rabbi Shimon. And therefore, he comes up with a situation in which a person is on the roof and falls off the roof where there's no question that it was done accidentally. And in that situation, you have a case of Soneh that can end up in Galut, because a person would not put their life at risk just to do something like this. And therefore, it's indicative of the fact that it must have really been an accident. And that's the manifestation of a case of Soneh, which can end up in Galut, according to Rabbi, in the name of Rabbi Shimon.
The opposite girsa, which is championed by the Rabbeinu Hananel and others, is that way to read it is that Nifsak on Nifsak is in Lokasha, Kan bohev, kan bisoneh.
Where he is an ohev, we assume that nifsak was a case of shogeg. And a case where he's a soneh, then we assume that the nifsak was not just a shogeg, but something worse than that, and therefore he's not deserving of galut.
Al nishmat is not a kasha, because that's Rabbi and the Rabbonon.
Where, in the first braita, where it says that something that nishmat, that falls out, there is no galut, is according to Rabbi. And the second braita, which says something that's nishmat, that falls out of his hands, does end up in galut, that would be going to the Rabbonon, who say when something goes flying off, you do end up in galut, as opposed to Rabbi, who says that when something goes flying off the axe, you're not deserving a galut in that case, because it's too karov, the mezid.
And Rashi says that they mistakenly went to this girsa, because that girsa, they compared the nishmat barzel to the nishmat things falling out of his hand. And so therefore they thought that's what it was speaking about, that the nishmat of the barzel is connected to the nishmat of things falling out of his hand. Leichan golin. Where do they get sent into galut? La'arei miklat. To the arei miklat. Obviously, where they go there is to the arei miklat. But the answer to that question must have to do with the latter part of the Mishnah, which is not only does a killer b'shogeg go to an arei miklat, but even a killer b'mezid goes to the arei miklat.
Or the Aruch Haner suggests actually over here, it's coming to tell you that all the arei miklat are exactly equal. It doesn't matter which one of the arei miklat you go to, whether it's an Iver Yayidin or an Eretz Yisrael, they all have the same powers of sanctuary.
So that's what it means, Heilechan Golin. To the arei miklat. The Shlosh Be'er Yadin, the Shlosh Be'er Kanan. There are three arei miklat in Iver Yardain on the eastern side of the Yardain, and three in Eretz Kanan. Shnemar, Shlosh Arim Titnu Me'er Yardain. That Shlosh Arim Titnu Be'eretz Kanan. The Posuk in Bamidbar says three in Iver Yardain, three in Eretz Kanan. Until the ones in Eretz Yisrael were functional, the ones in Eretz Yisrael didn't work. So Namar, the pasuk says, Sheish arei miklat tiyena. So that it only works when there are six of them. When all six are functioning, then they all work. When not all six are functioning, they don't work. So that teaches you basically that the ones in Eretz Yisrael didn't go into function until after the 14 years of Kibush V'chiluk. Until they settled in Eretz Kanan and they settled out the arei miklat, the ones in Eretz Yisrael weren't functioning. So now once the 14 years passed, then the ones that Moshe designated in Eretz Yisrael also now work with the ones that were designated in Eretz Kanan by Yoshua. And you have to have roads that go from one to the other. Shenemar tachin lecha derech kavishilashto. That you have to make the roads clear, meaning that they have well-paved roads and good signage so that people running to the Yermiklat will not be lost or not get there in time because of a problem with the roads or the signage. We also give over two Tamidei Chachamim to the individual who's going to the Ir Miklat in order to protect him from the Gol Adam and try to convince the Gol Adam not to kill him, because they're going to tell him he killed Bishogeg, you shouldn't kill him. When this takes place is not clear. According to Rashi, this is when he's running to the Ir Miklat. We have two Tamidei Chachamim accompany him to try to protect him from the Gol Adam until he can reach the Ir Miklat. Now then, the Rambam seems to indicate it's after he's already in the Ir Miklat, and we give him two Tamidei Chachamim when he leaves or he does anything to try to convince the Gol Adam not to wait or not to try to kill him because he killed Bishogeg. Rabbi Meir Omer, whom it debar de etzmo. You don't need Tamidei Chachamim, he can speak on his own behalf. Shenemar v'zed dvar ha-rotzeach. This is the matter of the rotzeach, but they're reading davar as being dibor. That he speaks up and explains that he only did it Bishogeg and not b'mezid, that the Gol Adam should have mercy on him and not kill him in this case. Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Yehuda Omer, b'tchila, Echad shugeg ve'echad mezid makdimim la'ari miklat. Says in the beginning, whether you're shugeg or mezid, you run to an ir miklat. Beitin shochim ve'evim oto misham. Then Beitin brings them from the ir miklat in order to decide what his situation is. Mishinit chayev mita be'beitin hargu. The one who's chayev mita bidei adam, they kill him, they execute him. Shalonit chayev mita, the one who's not chayev to be executed, patrua. They release him because he is not guilty at all. Mishinit chayev galut. Someone is chayev galut, makzirin oto, limkomo, they put him back in the ir miklat. Shenemar beshivu oto eida limiklato. Says that the eida will put him back in the ir miklat. Why are they putting him back in the ir miklat if he never left? So that's the answer, that everybody runs to the ir miklat in the first place, then they bring him out to decide what his verdict is. Once they decide what the verdict is, they carry it out. Whether they execute him, free him, or they take him back to the ir miklat. From that you see that it has to be that everybody runs to the ir miklat. Because how do you know he's a shogeg until after Beit Din adjudicates the case? So that means that everybody runs there in the first place, and then Beit Din decides whether he's really a shogeg and should remain there, or he's a mezid and should be killed, or he should be patur the gamre. Tan Rabbanan, Shlosh Arim Yivdil Moshe be'Eiver Yordain, Uknegdam Yivdil Yoshua be'Eretz Kenan. There were three that Moshe did in Eiver Yordain, and three that Yoshua did in Eretz Kenan. Umikuvanot Ayu Kamin Shtei Shirot Shebekerem. They are horizontally aligned, like two rows of a vineyard. Which means that, whatever there's an ir miklat on the eastern side, there's one on the western side, they're lined up, like two vertical rows, that are matched up horizontally. And now the Gemara explains that. Chevron b'Yehuda, the southernmost one in Eretz Yisrael, which is Chevron Yehuda, Keneged Betzer b'Midbar, is parallel with Betzer b'Midbar in Eiver Yordain. Shechem b'Har Ephraim, Shechem, which is the middle of Eretz Yisrael, which is the Ir Miklat in the middle of Eretz Yisrael, that is Keneged Ramot b'Gilad, which is the Ir Miklat on the eastern side. Kedesh b'Har Naphtali, which is the northernmost Ir Miklat in Eretz Yisrael, Keneged Golan b'Bashan, is opposite the Golan b'Bashan on the eastern side. Vishilashta, you break it up. Here it seems to be you break it up or you divide it up by based on these Ir Miklat. The Gemara reads that literally, which is Vishilashta she mishulashim, that they have to be broken up into three even parts. Shemi daron lechevron kimi chevron leshchem, umi chevron leshchem kimi shchem lekedesh, umi shchem lekedesh kimi kedesh letzafon. Or in essence, what they're saying here is that you divide the country up into four sections, and those four sections divide up. That means that from the border to the first city is the same distance as the first city to the second city, and from the second city to the third city, and the third city to the final border. And so for that reason, it's Vishilashta. You distribute them evenly across the thirds of the country, which really means you divide the country into quarters, and then you put them at the points along the way, which are a quarter, and a quarter, which gives you a country, then it's divided by thirds by these cities. So now, the Gemara says, Be'eiver ve'yein tlat, be'eretz Yisrael tlat. It seems very strange that there are three Ari Miklat on the eastern side of the Yordain, and there are three on the western side of the Yordain, when there are only 2.5 Shvatim on the eastern side, and there are 9.5 Shvatim on the western side. That's because in Gilad, which is in Eiver Yordain, there were a lot of killers. Because the Pasuk says in Hosea, Gilad Kiryat Poliaven, Gilad is a city of evildoers. Akuba midam, it's polluted with blood. May akubuda midam, what does it mean? It's polluted with blood. Amar Rabbi Elazar, shayu okvim larog nefashot. That either used to plot or plan, or they used to wait an ambush to kill people. So the Gemara says that based on that, Gilad is more problematic. There are more killers there. The Balei Tosafot already raised a serious issue about that, which is, how could it be that it helps you out? Pasuk is speaking about people killed by Mezid. Ir Miklat is only good for you when you're killed by Shogeg. So one possible answer is that everybody runs to the Ir Miklat in the first place. That's what we said before. So maybe they needed even for the killers of Mezid until Beit Din could process the backlog of people that it killed. So that's one way you could answer it. Or the Balei Tosafot suggests over here, the fisher ogim Mezid below Edim, that they used to kill intentionally without any Edim. And since they killed without Edim, they couldn't be put to death. And then we have the Agadata coming up, which says that when a person kills Mezid, another person kills Shogeg, Hashem brings them together into a single place. And the guy who's chayav galut falls off the ladder, lands on the guy who killed b'mezid, so he gets his punishment that he's killed, and the other guy gets his punishment that he goes into galut. So since the rotschim were not getting taken out, because there were no edim, there was no hatra'ah, so God had to do this work for them. And he had to make it that other people would kill them b'shogeg to get everybody punished properly, and that's why there'd be so many shogegim. That's what the Balei Tosafot suggests. If you look right by the Mishnah, they quote from the Ramban al Torah, and the Ritva says something similar, which is that the people were disingenuous, and which is that they would kill b'mezid, but then they would make it look like they did it bishogeg. Since they pretended to do a bishogeg, they needed more Ari Miklat, even though they were killing b'mezid. I want to propose something here, which I think is a strong suggestion about why it was this way, which is that God and Reuven, their promise to Moshe Rabbeinu and to Kodesh Baruch Hu is that they will be chalutzim batzava, that they're going to be the front lines of the army, that they're going to conquer Eretz Yisrael with the army, and then only then will they go back to take their possessions in the Gilad or in Eiver HaYarden. So what that means is for the next 14 years of Kibush and Chiluk, or at least for the 7 years of Kibush, they were killing people. They were justified in killing people because they were doing it by Mechemet Mitzvah, but they still were killing people for the next 7 years. And what happens when a person kills, even for a mitzvah, the person learns a certain amount of akzariyut, or a person becomes inured to killing and the value of life, because they're doing so much killing. And that is actually mentioned by the Rav Chaim Shmulevitz with regards to an Eir Nidachat. It says that the people who execute an Eir Nidachat, the Torah promises them after, Natan lecha rachamim v'richamcha. Hashem says, I will give you rachamim, and therefore I'll be able to be merachim on you. So Rav Chaim Shmulevitz asks, why does Hashem have to give rachamim to the killers of the Eir Nidachat? They're doing a mitzvah. So what you see from that is that even when you're doing a mitzvah, you're affected by the doing of the mitzvah. Wiping out an Eir Nidachat is tremendous akzariyut, cruelty. You wipe men, women, children, you burn the whole city down. It's a tremendous amount of cruelty, and it has an impact on the nefesh of the person who has to do it. So Hashem promises you that even though you're doing this execution, and you're being akzir, Natan lecha rachamim. Hashem is going to give you rachamim. You won't change as a person, and therefore Hashem will be able to be rachamim on you, because Hashem works midah k'neged midah. If you have rachamim, Hashem will have rachamim on you. So what you see from this is even when you're engaged in a mitzvah, there still is a resultant impact on the individual. And similarly over here, when Reuven and Gad were the chalutzim batzavah and they were executing the Mechemet Mitzvah, it affected them. And when they went back to Eiver HaYarden, there were more killings in Eiver HaYarden because they were less careful about the value of life. They were impacted by the fact that they had been killing for the last 7 years. That's number one. Number two is Rashi brings the Midrash Chazal about the way that Reuven and Gad asked Moshe Rabbeinu. There it says that they asked him to give the cities for their animals and then their family. Moshe responds to them and says, no, I'll give the cities for your family and then your animals. Moshe points out to them they got the order wrong. They worried about their animals before their family, which once again demonstrates this idea that they had a problem with the value of human life and that they had some deficit in this area. And those types of deficits cause killing.
And that lack of concern or value in human life leads to people killing b'shogeg. As you can see, for an example, by the case of Shabbat, where
when a person turns on a light on Shabbat by accident, we call it a shogeg. Why isn't it anus? The guy didn't even think about it. He did it in his routine every day, or he did it by route. He wasn't even thinking when he did it. The answer is that the awareness of Shabbat changes the person. The more a person's aware of Shabbat, the less likely he is to make such a mistake. When he has greater awareness of Shabbat, he's less likely to be ba'onis of b'shogeg. On the other hand,
if Shabbat moves into the background of his consciousness, and it's not the forefront of his consciousness, those types of mistakes can creep up, because he does do things on autopilot without concern for the Shabbat. And that's indicative of his lack of concern, or his awareness of Shabbat.
And similarly over here, these people who were killing, yes, they might be killing b'shogeg, but they're taking less precaution because they didn't care about human life, or they valued human life less, either because they were chalutzim batzava, or even before that, they put their animals before the human beings.
And that is also reinforced by the fact that in Divrei Hayamim, Eiver HaYarden has many more battles and issues with the neighboring countries, and so there's a lot more war over there, as well as the fact that Divrei Hayamim says that David HaMelech was precluded from building the Beit HaMikdash, because they had blood on his hands. So even though he didn't do anything wrong, just the mere fact that he had blood on his hands has impact on the individual and disqualifies them from building the Beit HaMikdash.
And I think that might be a way to explain why they needed more Ari Miklat on the Eiver HaYarden than they did on the western side in Eretz Yisrael. All right, now the Gemara asks another question, which is, if you are living on the borders of Eretz Yisrael, you have to traverse a quarter of the Eretz Yisrael to get to the closest Eir Miklat. Now then, if you live in the middle of the country, you could be no more than an eighth of the country away from an Eir Miklat. Because in either direction, there's an Eir Miklat. So why is it in the middle of the country they're more concentrated, on the borders they're less concentrated? Well, the answer is like today, there are probably more people in the Merkaz than there were people on the periphery. But the Gemara gives a different answer, which is, Am Rabbi b'Shchem nami shchichei rotzchim. That in Shchem there are also a lot of murderers. Dichtiv, ukechakei ish gedudim. That when they lie waiting, the men of the gangs, chever kohanim, they are
like the bands of the kohanim.
Of the kohanim. Derech yiratzchu shechma.
That they all have the same diabolical plan, They're all of one mindset
that they end up killing in these situations. Gemara is obviously darshaning shechma to mean shchem. And so what they're saying is that there's killing going on in shchem. My chever kohanim. What does it mean? They're the buddies of the kohanim.
Where the pashtun means that the kohanim were likely taking their matanot by force or by murder. The same way that these bands of thieves and robbers are going around killing.
Amar Lazar shayum mitchabrim larog nefashot kohanim alalu shemitchabrim lachalok trumot ubeit agronot. They used to gather together to execute murders. The same way that the Kohanim gathered together to split up the Truma in the Granot.
The threshing floors.
And so that reason, Shechem has more murderers, and therefore they need a higher concentration of Ari Miklad in that area. And that goes back to the Gadot that we saw in Sanhedrin as well, that Shechem is a place that is inauspicious, it's a place where killing happens, it's a place in many senses where maybe even Jews don't live, which is that it's a place where, even in the time of Yaakov, there was a problem with the city of Shechem.
But the story of Dinah, and then subsequently Shimon and Levi killing out the city.
And later on we find by Yosef that he sold from Shechem. And we find in the time of the Shoftim, also by the case of Avimelech, that the story also happens with the people of Shechem. We find that that's where Yerovam ben Nevat goes to start the new Melucha in the northern kingdom. And we find that the people of Shechem are achzari, are cruel, and they end up murdering. And they may not even be fully Jewish, which would explain a lot of situations or circumstances in Tanakh. That fact that they are cruel, that leads them to do or join with Avimelech in terms of overthrowing his brothers or killing his brothers, is demonstrative of their lack of concern for our human life. And then once again leads to more murders or problems b'shogeg, and that's why you need a higher concentration of Ari Miklat. All right, we're going to stop here, 9 lines down on the top of Yud Amud Aleph.